In a highly anticipated decision, the Food and Drug Administration, for the very first time this week, gave approval for several e-cigarette products to remain on the market. Now, this comes amid years of concern around e-cigarettes or vaping devices and enticing and threatening the health of young people. And the FDA reasons the products it approved are less appealing to youth and could be less hazardous pathway for adults trying to cut back on their addiction to traditional cigarettes. We'd like to hear from you today if you've tried e-cigs or vaping, or if you've tried to quit and can't find yourself a way, or if you have found the way to drop nicotine as a physically addictive substance. Tell us about it. 1-800-642-1234. One of your kids or grandkids used one of these products? 1-800-642-1234. You can join us on our Facebook page or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Dr. Michael Fiore. He is University of Wisconsin-Hilldale Professor of Medicine. He founded and is the director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. He's also a general internist and preventative medicine specialist and treats patients for tobacco dependence. Dr. Fiore, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks very much.
Let's start with this FDA decision. And from the looks of it, it looks like they decided on the products of one major tobacco company while leaving another major tobacco company undecided for the time being. What is your takeaway of what the FDA authorized this week?
Well, first, I think it will be really helpful to state exactly what the FDA said. And what that was is that R.J. Reynolds can market as a tobacco product one of their e-cigarette products called Vuse. So what the FDA did not do is to say Vuse is a medicine. It did not say Vuse is approved as safe and effective, but rather it said that R.J. Reynolds could market Vuse as a tobacco product. And the reason that the FDA did that is that their analysis of the data said that Vuse, an e-cigarette, when compared to a conventional cigarette, which we often refer to as a combustible cigarette, where we light it, we cause the production of 7,000 chemicals, 50 of which are carcinogens. They determined that Vuse is substantially less harmful than burning cigarettes, so that if you switch from conventional cigarettes to Vuse, it's probably safer. But an important distinction is probably safer does not mean 100% safe.
And what's the perspective of the director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention following the FDA's decision this week?
Well, there's two things we think a lot about when we think about e-cigarettes. And the first, of course, is kids. We don't want any child, any adolescent, any young adult to use any tobacco product that contains nicotine, pure and simple. Whether it is cigarettes, whether it is e-cigarettes, or whether it's smokeless tobacco products. And why do we take this perspective? Because we know that the adolescent brain is incredibly malleable, that nicotine damages that adolescent brain, and it puts kids at risk for lifelong addiction, including progressing from e-cigarettes to cigarettes that we burn, combustible cigarettes or conventional cigarettes that are harmful. So that's one thing totally clear. We don't want any kids to be using any tobacco product. But we have to balance that against the fact that in the United States, we've got 35 million people addicted to conventional cigarettes. And we know if they don't quit or switch their product, half of them are going to be killed by their addiction to cigarettes, on average dying 10 years more prematurely, often from horrible cancers, heart disease, and lung disease. So it's a real balance. On the one hand, we've got to protect kids. But on the other hand, we've got to come up with more and effective ways to help the 35 million Americans, including about 700,000 here in Wisconsin, help them to quit so they don't suffer and die.
700,000 smokers in Wisconsin?
Yes, there are. And those are all at risk. So think about that. About 350,000 of them are going to die prematurely if they don't quit. It's a giant public health problem.
Dr. Michael Fiore is the director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. And if you've got a story about the physical addiction of nicotine, we'll hear from you this afternoon at 1-800-642-1234. So this may go to the FDA's authorization of the sale of these Vuse e-cigarettes and the mandate that they be tobacco flavored, right? That the tobacco flavoring is in some way intended to avoid the enticement of children and yet allow for those who are using combustible cigarettes to move towards an e-cig. Did I get that right, Doctor?
Well, yes, you did. And what the FDA said in its release of October 12th was that flavorings make e-cigarettes particularly appealing to young people. Therefore, flavored views, whether it's bubble gum or mint or mango or any of the myriad of flavors that these companies have used, are banned. What they can do is sell it flavored as tobacco. So it's very similar to the experience that an addicted smoker has when smoking a conventional cigarette. And what we know based upon the research that was presented to the FDA is that young people are less likely to smoke these tobacco-flavored e-cigarettes. It doesn't mean that they won't smoke them at all, but they are less likely to smoke them. So they did this balance, this determination of what, you know, we've got two difficult challenges here, and how do we balance it? And that's what the FDA is trying to do.
So in the past months leading up to Tuesday's decision from the Food and Drug Administration on the use of e-cigs, the FDA has ordered thousands of vaping products off of the store shelves. Is that as a result of the flavoring that's been used? What was behind that decision?
So just to give a little history, 10 years ago, we didn't have any e-cigarettes. So these are all new products. And frankly, the government and the FDA has struggled with how do we deal with all of these new products that kids in particular seem to gravitate towards. So what they did was to use some existing regulatory authority and say that every company that is selling e-cigarettes needs to present data to the FDA, present evidence that says we're not hooking kids and these products aren't appealing to kids. What they found is that so many of these e-cigarette companies were just making kid-like flavors, whether they be bubblegum or any of the other ones that we've all heard about and seen, often looking like candy, and said all of those are banned. There's a couple companies that are proposing to market e-cigarettes in a way that is less appealing to children. Doesn't say zero appeal, just less appealing to children. And Vuse tobacco-flavored e-cigarettes is one example. And in fact, the first one that the FDA has authorized for use.
Dr. Fiore, since the decision on Tuesday from the FDA focuses on tobacco-flavored Vuse e-cigarettes, which comes from the tobacco company R.J. Reynolds, where does this leave the other another major tobacco company, Altria, which owns, as I understand, about a third of the e-cigarette known as Juul?
Yep, really important information that's not yet been released by the FDA. Altria and Juul have submitted to the FDA their packet of information requesting permission to market. I suspect over the next few months we'll hear from the FDA what their judgment is regarding Juul. But I suspect we'll also see something very similar to what we've seen with Views in this R.J. Reynolds product. I don't envision there's going to be any flavored e-cigarettes that are received permission for marketing. But we'll have to see what the FDA says. I sure don't have any inside knowledge about that. But based upon this this report that was released, I think it does provide what we'll probably see with the other large companies. And, of course, everyone, just as you've said, is waiting to hear what will happen with Juul, because Juul was so popular with kids. Importantly, Juul and all of the other major e-cigarette companies have stopped selling flavored e-cigarettes already. So that's already happened.
A roadmap for regulation when it comes to e-cigarettes. New decision on Tuesday from the FDA may lead to what lies ahead for other vape products and e-cigarettes. We're talking with Dr. Michael Fiore. He's the director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. We're looking at the FDA's decision this week to approve some of these e-cigarette products, and we want to hear from you. What do you think about what the FDA had to say? What do you think about nicotine products and the 700,000 estimated Wisconsinites who partake in them, and the consequences for them and for our community, all of us? How were you able to quit smoking? I used nicotine lozenges for years. Hear from you today still at 1-800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email us ideas@WPR.org. Tweet us at Central Time WPR. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret, and this is the Ideas Network. It's Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're picking up our talk with Dr. Michael Fiore, the director of the University of Wisconsin Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. We're talking about e-cigarettes and the FDA's approval on Tuesday of certain products, allowing them to remain on the market and to be marketed. Not to children, of course. Let's go to Bob in Cross Plains, who joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hi. Thanks for the call. So my question is, what's going to happen? Is there a way, end way around this, that maybe the industry is going to create flavors that they can then, the individuals can add to the tobacco or to the e-cigarette, so it's not being sold that way, but you buy the e-cigarette and then you buy a bubblegum flavor and you mix them together? What, any conditions or restrictions on that?
Interesting. Dr. Fiore, is there a way that tobacco companies will try to get around the new regulations?
Well, that's clearly a concern, and it's particularly a concern with some of the vaping shops that often do the mixing right there and then in your presence. It's also the concern with some of other products that people mix at home. The hope is that these are sealed products that don't allow for their manipulation. You know, folks may remember, it was only 2 years ago when we had an epidemic of something called EVOLI, when kids primarily were adding products to their e-cigarettes that caused incredible lung damage. And many young people died. Others were debilitated because of damage to their lungs. So the concern raised by our caller is a real one. But if it is a sealed product, then hopefully it cannot be manipulated.
The American Lung Association, in response to the FDA's decision this week, said the harm that these products cause to youth shows that they failed to meet the Tobacco Control Act's public health standard, implying that the FDA's decision somehow goes against the law. And again, it goes back to that balance, Dr. Fiore, and how we find that balance. Does some of the answer have to do with the marketing rules that were put in place this week and who will see or have available these e-cigs?
Yeah, and of course, very reasonable people have different perspectives on the FDA's rulings. But importantly, as part of the ruling, what they have stated they are going to do is review marketing materials on a regular basis. And if, in fact, R.J. Reynolds is marketing these products in a way that makes them particularly appealing to children, as per the FDA's judgment, they will withdraw this approval. So that is part of the materials that was released by the FDA. And I want to just take a moment to use this as an opportunity, particularly for all of our listeners, to highlight the following. We have treatments that we know help people to quit. If you smoke combustible cigarettes, conventional cigarettes, and you want to quit, and you don't want to use these cigarettes, and as a physician, that would not be the product that I would direct you to use, you have the following resources available to you. The Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW is a free counseling service available to everybody in our state. Already 250,000 individuals have called to get help. And not only do we provide counseling, we run this through the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line and the Wisconsin Health Department, but we also provide 2 weeks of free nicotine medicine. Just call and you'll get it mailed to your home.
1-800-QUIT-NOW?
1-800-QUIT-NOW. You'll get both counseling and 2 weeks of free medicine. You could talk to your doctor because there are seven medicines that the FDA has said are safe and effective to help you to quit. There are five that are nicotine medicines. There's in two pills, one varenicline and one bupropion. And finally, you could go on to the National Cancer Institute's website, smokefree.gov, so www.smokefree.gov, and you can get help to quit online, including text-based programs based on the type of person you are and the product that you're using. So there are resources out there. You don't have to turn to e-cigarettes. You can use products that we know are supported by science and are also safe and effective. So I, as a physician and as the director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, say loud and clear, take advantage of what we know works. And I want to tell you one last resource, and that is the website we have here at the University of Wisconsin Medical School. It's www.ctri.wisc.edu. And in addition to all these other resources I've mentioned to you, we have research studies where we will help you to quit, and you could participate in advancing the science at the same time.
Dr. Fiore, and while it's only anecdotal, as a former smoker, I have not come across any longtime smokers who were not interested in quitting. It's just not something that I've come across.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah. Most people who smoke today feel like they've got a monkey on their back. They became addicted as children. They want to quit. Often they've tried and have failed, and I say, don't give up. We have treatments. The more times you try, the more likely you ought to quit.
Right. Don't
use
quit
one
quitting.
Of the medicines. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
And listen, doctor, we have actually compiled all of these resources on our website, thanks to the Central Time team for putting it all together. If you missed any of what Dr. Fiore had to offer for your steps to smoking cessation, that would not include e-cigs, because that would not be, according to a medical practitioner, the best way. You can go to WPR.org/Central Time. We'll have the phone number. We'll have the website. We'll have the resources for you to get started. Just don't quit quitting, and that would be the step forward. Speaking of steps forward, though, with a few minutes we have left, Dr. Fiore, what's next for the FDA and their tobacco division?
Well, you know, we know that smoking is going to kill half of the people who continue doing it. And we got to do everything we can to reduce and eliminate tobacco use. And one authority that the FDA has that they've not yet used, that I hope they will soon, is to mandate the removal of nicotine from all tobacco products to non-addictive levels. That's one of their authorities, maybe for another time to discuss it. But boy, we know that people don't smoke denicotinized cigarettes. Thus, we have a way out of this dilemma and a way to save a half a million lives per year.
What about, and we've talked a lot about the flavor of e-cigarettes, but also the flavor of combustible cigarettes. What about menthol?
Well, part of the FDA's current authority is to ban menthol. They've not yet taken that and utilized that authority.
So we'll keep an eye on it and keep in touch with you. Dr. Fiore, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to talk. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dr. Michael Fiore directs the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, which he founded.